This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdal. New York City, as I think we all know, has one of the world's great skylines. Iconic is not an overstatement here, but it is a dynamic thing, that skyline is, changing with each new construction. It's about to change some more with what are called pencil towers, new super skinny, super tall buildings that are going up and that are also controversial for a number of reasons, one of which is the shadows that they cast on the ground. Marketplace's Sabri Benishore has that story.
This is Central Park. We have bikers, picnickers, loiterers, some turtles. And this park is smack in the middle of an ongoing ruckus, allegedly over shadows.
Buildings going up to 90 and 100 stories.
This is City Councilman Mark Levine.
Just footsteps from the southern perimeter of Central Park, casting unacceptably long and obtrusive shadows in the park.
Levine sponsored a bill to study any building that might throw shadows on any park. The buildings Levine is especially worried about, and there are at least a dozen of them in various stages of development or construction, include one that'll have the tallest rooftop in North America, 84 stories, 1,428 feet.
Central Park is a backyard for countless New Yorkers, and I think we need to look at sunlight as a public good.
But just how much sun are these buildings going to actually block? They are very skinny, insanely skinny. The one I'm standing under now, 432 Park Ave, is just 93 feet on each side, but will rise to nearly 1,400 feet.
These are tall, slender buildings. The shadows are there for a few minutes at any one position because they are that.
Gary Barnett founded Extel Development. They've put up one tower and are in the process of constructing a second.
Parks are a good thing. Parks need a certain amount of sunlight. Having said that, none of the buildings that are being built in any way impinge on the flora, the fauna, the use, the enjoyment of the park. And that, to me, is, you know, basically irrefutable.
People have fought over sunlight for a very long time. Gerald Kaden is professor of urban planning and design at the Harvard Graduate School of Design.
The idea of protecting access to sunlight is an ancient one. You can track it back to the English common law, which contained and still does contain a centuries-old doctrine known as ancient lights.
The basic idea was you're not allowed to block your neighbor's light. That right does not exist in most places in the U.S. There are zoning rules in New York about how much open sky can be blocked, and the super slender towers don't break any of them. But there are no rules or guidelines, even, about shadows in particular.
And I think as a consequence of that lack of clarity, rhetoric dominates the day.
Jesse Keenan is with the Center for Urban Real Estate at Columbia. The fight over the super slender towers is heated because the tenants of those buildings are largely billionaires, some of them from outside the U.S. And that sparked resentment among New Yorkers over and above the issue of sunlight.
Obviously, when you're talking about super tall luxury towers inhabited by billionaires, classism does paint the picture in a slightly different way.
But he says sunlight and shadow are measurable things.
I think we need benchmarks and metrics that allow us to have an informed debate.
Enter the shadow consultant.
What this graphic means is the darker, the more overlaps of the pink that you have, it means the longer duration of shadow.
Alihan Polat is with the Environmental Simulation Center. They apply digital technology to land use disputes. Polat's pointing to several computer screens of 3D models of Manhattan and maps of moving shadows.
Shadow is not something static, it's dynamic, and depending on the building configuration and massing, it can move fast, it can move slow.
They follow the shadows over the seasons, they map out sensitive areas like playgrounds. On one screen, there's a rainbow-colored heat map showing how much actual thermal energy different parts of a park are absorbing. Michael Portler started the Environmental Simulation Center.
We could tell you that over a period of time, this is the amount of energy that will strike the bench. And is that enough energy to keep somebody comfortable during the colder months to sit outside?
Despite all the data, Quartler says it's not easy being a shadow consultant.
It's been hard.
He remembers one time a neighborhood group concerned about shadows in a park challenged him when he said the data showed, in that instance, a taller, skinnier building would cast less shadow than a shorter, squat one. They still opposed the taller building.
I said, even if it meant conserving sunlight on a small park, where that really matters, these people left the table.
Kortler hasn't done an assessment of Central Park yet. But even if he does, it probably won't settle the debate over light and shadow. There's just too much of a gray area. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishour for Marketplace.